I've been carrying this one around for 7 weeks. So I'm so excited to finally get it out. I heard a quote a few years ago that got my attention. Yeah, I mean, it really got my attention. But I think the reason it got my attention is that it's either hyperbole, you know, an overstatement, or it got it backwards, or maybe even flat wrong. The quote goes, "All poetry can do in the end is make the world bearable. It's engineering that gets you to the moon." Now, to be fair, I have nothing against engineers. I'm reminded on Father's Day, high five, good dads. I'm reminded on Father's Day that I helped bring an engineer into the world. But I also helped bring a poet into the world. And I know you. Some of you are engineers. And some of you are poets. And we need both. Engineers keep planes in the air, our cars going straight, our bridges standing. But in the meantime, while we fly and drive and walk, we need poets. And we need poets to make the world bearable. Sometimes in the Garden of Eden, but most of the time where most of us live, with Abraham and Sarah here, way, way, way east of Eden. But here, way, way, way east of Eden, funny things still happen. As in funny ha-ha, things that bring us joy, things that make us laugh. And dare we say, even surprise us from time to time? Perhaps that's the worst part of aging. We stop letting ourselves be surprised. Yeah, I hear people say, I just don't feel inspired. Well, are you opening yourself to being inspired? Are you looking for opportunities every day? Going into your day saying, oh, how is God going to inspire me today? Or even, how am I going to be surprised? Well, let me introduce you to two old people who got a surprise. This is one of the stories of Abraham and Sarah in Genesis 18. The Lord appeared to Abraham by the oaks of Mamre as he sat at the entrance of his tent in the heat of the day. He looked up and saw three men standing near him. When he saw them, he ran from the tent entrance to meet them and bowed down to the ground. He said, "My Lord, if I find favor with you, do not pass by your servant. Let a little water be brought and wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree. Let me bring a little bread that you may refresh yourselves, and after that you may pass on, since you have come to your servant." So they said, "Do as you have said." And Abraham hastened into the tent to Sarah and said, "Make ready quickly 3 measures of choice flour, knead it, and make cakes." And Abraham ran to the herd and took a calf, tender and good, and gave it to the servant who hastened to prepare it. Then he took curds and milk and the calf that he had prepared and set it before them. And he stood by them under the tree while they ate. They said to him, "Where is your wife Sarah?" And he said, "There, in the tent." Then one said, "I will surely return to you in due season, and your wife shall have a son." And Sarah was listening at the tent entrance behind him. Now, Abraham and Sarah were old, advanced in age. It had ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. So Sarah laughed to herself, saying, "After I have grown old and my husband is old, shall I have pleasure?" The Lord said to Abraham, "Why did Sarah laugh and say, 'Shall I indeed bear a child now that I am old? Is anything too wonderful for the Lord?' At the set time, I will return to you in due season, and Sarah will have a son." But Sarah denied, saying, "I did not laugh," because she was afraid. He said, "Oh yes, you did laugh." Even when we are telling the stories of creation, like the story of Abraham and all his offspring, we must not forget that these stories are meant to inspire, not just to inform. These stories are not meant to get us to the moon. These stories are meant to make the world bearable. When French filmmaker Agnès Varda was interviewed in 2018, a year before she died, she reflected on her filmmaking career that started with her first movie back in 1955. She was sort of the pioneer. She was the mother of what eventually gave birth to what was called the French New Wave, French New Wave cinema. And she, her first movie, she took what was arguably the ugliest fishing village in southern France and made it absolutely breathtakingly beautiful. And she combined it with real lives of real people. So she sits in this interview. Again, they filmed it right before she died. She sits in a chair on stage during this interview telling stories about her filmmaking career. And from the introduction, that just watched over and over again, from her introduction to her speech, she said that her filmmaking career could be narrowed down to three precepts, three ideas. One, inspiration, drawn from the real world around her. Two, creation, in collaboration with other human beings. And three, sharing, where she gains the most satisfaction by presenting her work with audiences. It's what she called the absolute treasure of the creative experience. The absolute treasure of the creative experience. What inspires you these days? Do you still let yourself be inspired? Or have you given in to the exhausting, unbearable weight of the world? Our job as a community of faith in this place is to remind one another to still be inspirable. What are you creating these days? What do you make? Even in creation with other people, even in collaboration, our job as a community of faith is to remind you that what we are doing, even this morning, is an act of creation with God, even as we proclaim the salvation and strength and forgiveness and mercy of the Lord to one another. What are you sharing these days? How are you sharing your life? Experiencing all these wonderful things that we dare to imagine with one another. I think it's funny that the story on Father's Day, and I realize Father's Day is not a religious holiday, but when they picked these texts, they knew what day it was.
I think it's funny that the story on Father's Day is really about Sarah. The story's really about her. And I'm curious because, you know, with just text, you can't detect tone. You know what I mean? You don't know what her laughter was about. We assume, like we think, or we've heard all through the years, oh, she was laughing because X, Y, Z. We don't know. Was she laughing because she doubted? In some cultures, that's the way that you interpret that kind of laughter, not in all cultures. In fact, in some ancient cultures that still exist to this day, laughter at the hearing of something like this would actually be considered a sign that they were nervous because they knew that this was going to happen. And it's like, what in the world am I going to do now? Was it fear? We just don't know. In any case, I think one thing to take away from Sarah is that we need to be children of laughter who dare to name the beauty around us. And let us be for one another the kind of people that when the world looks at you and says things that are not possible, that's not realistic. Well, that's not reasonable. You know, we can proclaim to one another that great poetic truth. God believes in you. Do you think you could hear that this morning? That God believes in you? That God believes in you? Because do you remember those two old people we met who were given news meant to inspire, but maybe they just rolled their eyes? Well, guess what? There's more to their story. And as you hear more of their story, are you brave enough to let it inspire you? Can you create with God? And will you share in this laughter? So a few chapters later in Genesis 21. The Lord dealt with Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah as he had promised. Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age at the time of which God had spoken to him. Abraham gave the name Isaac to his son whom Sarah bore him, and Abraham circumcised his son when he was 8 days old, as God has commanded him. Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. And Sarah said, God has brought laughter for me. Everyone who hears will laugh with me. And she said, who would ever have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children? What might we together in these days to come, what might we say that begins with such poetry as, who would have ever said? Engineering, in the end, can get us to the moon, but it is poetry that can make the world bearable.